If you're here during the summer, each and every one of our moms in this room is going to be one hot mom.
All right.
But not only are there hot moms who are famous, there's also cold moms. Okay. You could tell men handle adversity a little bit more differently than women do. Okay. And the most famous current mother of them all right now is the mother of all moms. Okay, I was expecting a little bit more than that. That's fine. Okay, if you guys didn't know, MOAB, right, is supposed to stand for Massive Ordnance Air Blast, but it's also nicknamed the mother of all bombs. And this adds new meaning to the term back in the day when I was a young man, when we used to say, she is the bomb. Okay, fine. My mom is the bomb? Okay, I guess not. All right. Well, today we're here to talk about moms, whether they're famous or less famous, whether they're more serious or they are less serious. And, of course, we have to ground our conversation in the first mom. And if you can, turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, whether on your cell phone or in your old school Bibles, handheld. Turn with me. We'll be in Genesis chapter 3. And the verse we'll be looking at is Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20. And most of the verses we'll be looking at will be found in the book of Genesis. So let us camp out over there. And if you're there already, you can't miss it. It's the very beginning of the Bible. Just keep your fingers there. And let us pray. And then we'll go into the text. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this time that we could come and celebrate moms. We thank you for the moms you placed within our lives. For, as Pastor Jerry prayed, not a single person in this room would be here without mom. So we owe a debt of gratitude. And in many ways, our lives, because of this amazing gift that you have given all the moms who gave birth to us. And help us to be able to look back and reflect on the first mom. And be able to appreciate what it is to what our moms have given unto us. We pray that your spirit speak and give us ears to hear. In your son's name we do pray. Amen. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. That Eve is the mother of all the living is even believed amongst unbelievers. In the scientific community, there's been great work done on the gene code. And they have traced it back. All the various races in this world, they've traced back to one person. And they've named this person a mitochondrial Eve. And the idea that all of humanity came forward from one person. And even unbelievers will bear testament to this. So this is not an unusual concept. We all around this world come from this one person. And we read a little bit later on when she becomes a mom that she doesn't have much going for her. She had prayer and she had Adam. And only one of them was useful. Okay, think about it. About it. It'll come to you later. Like, she didn't have doctors. She didn't have nurses, epidurals. She didn't even have this book. What to expect when you're expecting. I'm sure every one of us read this religiously when we're expecting a child. But then when a second child came, it's like, forget it. We're going to drop it off at Goodwill. It's great to kind of like scare you to death. But then you realize, it's okay. We're going to pray. And then you realize you'd be all right. And also, Eve, when she was expecting, she didn't have a mom to be able to turn to for advice. And then as she's going through childbearing pains, it was her just squeezing Adam's hand to the point where it turned like non-colors. It was just like squeezing his hand to death. For us, I want to ponder this question this morning. We appreciate moms for what they've done to us, the gift that they've given unto us of life. For all of us within this room, we could trace ourselves back to our moms. But why did God even ask us to create people, to be part of this incredible process. I mean, he did this job so well. He created Adam. He created Eve out of Adam as well. God could have just made more people. I mean, he had plenty of dirt all over the place, right? For it says that man, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. It says in Genesis chapter 2, the previous chapter. I was doing a wedding not too long ago, and it dawned upon me as this husband and wife, they had a fight, and they were talking about how the level of cleanliness between the man and the woman were radically different. And I said, you know what? It's right there in the Bible. The reason man is a little bit more dirty is because he's made from dirt. So men and women will never quite be at the same level of cleanliness. Because, you know, women, they're above dirt. Because they're made from, like, the rib of Adam, right? But men, we come from down there. So, you know, if something falls on the floor, just pick it up and eat it, right? Because, hey, I'm from dirt. I could eat dirt. It'll be okay. We'll be fine. So this explains why the level of cleanliness is different for men and women. And we can never do it the way that God could have done it, right? God, he created perfect man, perfect woman. Now, I can never quite picture what a perfect man and perfect woman looks like because I'm not a perfect person. Now, my wife comes close to perfection. She comes really, really close. But, you know, imagine when she's in heaven, it's going to be way more amazing because she'll be totally perfect when we cross over to the other side. It's going to be sweet. But there's no way we could ever follow in God's footsteps. We'd mess it up. But the question is, then why would God invite us to come along with him in this process of creating people in this world? I mean, he could have, like I said, he could have just easily just created a whole bunch of people. It would be just like those iPhone assembly lines in China. Just keep on popping one out every couple of minutes. Same thing for people. Just go out into this field over here and then a million people like that, and God could have just created it. But since we're made in his image, he invites us to follow suit and join him in his creative activities. And this was something which dawned upon me when I was like going through this passage. We're not defined by what we do. We're defined by what he does. And since he went about with this aspect of giving life, of creating, in the same manner we do that as well. We're defined by what he does. Not so much about what we do. Because what we do falls short of him in so many different ways. We are defined by what he does. But as it said in the previous verse, it says that she is the mother of all living. But what is life? What does it mean to be alive? Do we have anyone reading through a Frankenstein in high school? No one. Okay, you guys don't read, I guess. High school students, do you guys know how to read? I'm just kidding. Okay, I see one hand in the back over there. Let me guess, Chandler Preparatory Academy? Yeah, okay. Reading through the classics, such as Frankenstein. It's a source of great debate. What does it mean to be alive? People may live a physical life, but is that truly living? For many of us, we often struggle. We may breathe air in. We may breathe air out. We may eat food, and then it goes somewhere. We have signs of living, but are we truly living? And I can tell you this. When I was a teenager, I often struggled with this. We met in a small group last night. We were just talking about what life is and what it means to want to keep on going on living. And when I was younger, I often struggled with that. Even though I was living, I did not feel I was truly alive. But the defining moment for me to become alive was when I actually came to know who God is. And as I came to know who God is, then my life was transformed. We just have to look at how God related to the first person that he created to understand what life is. Life is all about knowing who you are in relationship to God. God communicated with Adam and he walked with him. He was created in his image and he had a relationship with him. To be fully alive is to be with God. And I trust and believe that many in this room believe that to be true. It's not so much what we do, but it's what he has done. And because he's created us, he's made us to be in relationship with him. It goes on to say in John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we come here this morning to celebrate moms, we have to realize what moms have given unto us. They've given unto us life, but we're not truly living until we have relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Adam, he could have named Eve anything at this moment. Just to put this in perspective, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20, it comes after the fall of humanity. Adam and Eve, they were ashamed because they had discovered that they were naked. They had disobeyed God when God told them that they were not supposed to eat of this tree. And because they ate of this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then therefore they were ashamed. They ran away from God. So very easily, instead of Adam calling Eve the mother of all living, he could have called her the mother of all dying. Because through their sin of disobeying God, death entered into the world. And when sin entered the world, it brought death instead of life. But what is death? What is death? And this is probably one of those strange conversations that parents will have with their children one day. I remember when my parents tried talking to me about what death was, and we went to funerals. And they tried telling me it was just that person was sleeping. And I'm like, well, I get to talk to them when they wake up. Well, hey, it's lunchtime. It's like a quick change of conversation. So for me, I just want to define what death is. Within this passage of Genesis chapter 3, death is the separation between that person and God. Their relationship has been broken. And a consequence of that death is shame is brought about. The effects of shame was, as we saw, as if you read through this passage, Genesis chapter 3, is that Adam and Eve, they were hiding. They were hiding. Okay. Boys and girls, this is the dangerous part of the message. Okay, boys and girls, have you ever hid from mom and dad when you've done something wrong? Yes? All right, moms and dads are paying close attention. Okay, so what would you do? Would you try to hide maybe something you broke? Sometimes? Wow, you're really brave. You're amazing. Okay, would you try to kind of stay away from mom and dad when you knew you did something wrong? Oh, yeah. I share a story. I am no different than you guys. One time, we were in the youth room, right, when I was a youth pastor in this church, long, long time ago, before the better youth pastor came. And we were messing around, so we made a hole in the wall. But you know what? This hole in the wall wasn't like a little hole. It was the size of a person. Yeah, we kind of pushed a person through the wall. So it was like this big. It was huge. So you know what we did? Because we didn't want Uncle Kenan mad at us. We hid it. You know how we hid it? Yes! You're so smart. We took a giant poster and we covered it up. Okay, so mom and dad, when you go home, if you see your children put up posters, just peel back a little bit and we'll see what's behind it. Just to make sure. Just to see what's going on over there. But that was the result of death. The idea is that we know we've done something wrong, so we try to hide it. And that's not good enough, though. We just don't want to be found. We don't want to be punished. But that's not right, though. Our relationship with God is broken because we know we've done something wrong. We have to get that relationship right once again. So when children are ashamed, they don't come to their parents right away with the stuff that they've done. And this is much like a believer who finds it hard to come to God after they sin. And we see a difference in the relationship between Adam and Eve right away. It says in Genesis chapter 2, the man and his wife, they were both naked, but they felt no shame. They didn't see anything wrong with that. But after they disobeyed God, it was radically different. For it says, "But the Lord God called to the man after they had sinned, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" He felt shame because of his disobedience. I am thankful for my mom. She always worried about my memory. And I believe many of us can attest to this within this room. She reminded me often of the things that that I had done, especially to her. And she wanted to remind me that she was the reason that I was in this world. And were any of you guys born via C-section? Any of you guys born via C-section? Okay, I was born via C-section, and I was a really big kid. It's hard to imagine that when you look at me. But when I was born, I weighed 10.5 pounds. Like, that's as much as some of you guys right there. I was like 10.5 pounds, right? So my mom had a really hard time getting me out. So after, like, trying for, like, a long time, I think it was like 20 hours, the doctor said, "Enough is enough. We're going to cut him out." So back then, right, the C-sections, they were not like a horizontal. They were cut vertically. So it left like this really bad scar. So since my mom was worried that I'd forget what she went through, she reminded me like almost every day of the reason of the suffering she went through to bring me into the world. And you know, being the grateful child I was just so thank you, Mom, for telling me once again. I kind of lost count, but it's been 18 years. Thank you, Mom. You know, we are thankful for our parents because of what they've done for us, especially moms, because they've done so much for us. They stayed up late at night. They've changed stinky diapers. They've put up with temper tantrums. And they've gone through such pain for us to be able to come into this world. So when we are doing something wrong, it hurts them. It hurts them very much. And in the same way, it hurts God as well. How can we know that we're struggling with shame? You can always tell when a person's struggling with shame is because they always feel that they're not accepted by other people. They never feel that they're quite good enough. Maybe it's the person who starts attacking other people, just trying to justify who they are because they just feel so empty and shameful inside. And this is what death is. It's a consequence of our separation from God. We go through this type of a death. But the amazing thing, and this is a beautiful story that we're looking at here, is that God doesn't leave it there. He wants us to have life. And how can we get life? Adam named his wife Eve because she'd become the mother of all living. This was actually the second time that Adam named his wife. In chapter 2, verse number 23, it says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man." Her first name pointed to the origin of her life. She came out of man. But then after the fall, after they committed sin by disobeying God, her second name pointed to her destiny. That she become the mother of all living. She could have been named the mother of all dying. And that would have been true. But instead, Adam was filled with hope. He knew about God's forgiveness. And he knew about God's incredible bond with his creation. And he did not want them to die. But instead wanted to offer them life. Adam and Eve, they were introduced to death through their sin, but Adam had hope. Adam had hope, and that's why he named her the mother of all living. Mothers have that special place in the lives of their children. Think back to when you were younger. Who's the one who fed you? Most of the time. Cleaned you? Most of the time. The one who clothed you? Sometimes still to this day. Who's the one that you ran to when you had tears, when you had an owie? And who is the one who carried you inside of her womb for 9 months? Moms gave physical life. But I would like to focus instead Definitely, that's a great aspect. But how about spiritual life as well? Moms and dads have a huge part in regards to this, but especially moms. How can we be fully alive? I alluded to it a little bit earlier. But first, I want to tell a story. There are three Jewish moms. And they're sitting around drinking coffee. Or if you're anti-coffee, I get some of you guys don't like Starbucks. They were at Teavana. Okay, they were drinking tea. Okay, so there are three Jewish moms. They're sitting around. And one of them said, "My son Moses, he never lets me walk in puddles. He just waves his staff and he makes a path through the water." "Oh dear, oh dear. Wait until you hear about my son. My son Samson, he never lets me carry groceries. He is so strong, but even stronger than his strength, it's his will. He never listens to me to get a haircut. Oy vey." Okay. If I was in New York, I'd get a better response. All right. How about you, Mary? What about your son? What does your son Jesus do? "Well, my son Jesus, he is the one who alone can bring life. For once again, as we read earlier, it says in John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." And he is the only one who could bring spiritual life into our lives. Moms, they bring life on multiple levels. They bring physical life, obviously, because we're all sitting within this room. They bring emotional life. They're the ones who cheer us on. They're the ones who make us smile. They're the ones who are there to comfort us. But also, they can bring spiritual life as well if they're a believer in the Lord. We can thank our moms for giving us life, physical life, emotional life, and hopefully spiritual life, and the hope that that brings. And we should give them thanks for that. But I want to give a special encouragement to our ladies within this room. We can definitely be a mom to our own children, whether you have them now or if you can have them in the future. But we could also bring life to other women that God has placed around us. Next week, our Patchwork Sisters will speak of this in the worship service with a special song. The idea of women pouring into other women to be able to help them experience this life. And that's something that we all need to experience. So before this day ends, remember to give mom thanks. Give her a call, give her a hug. But also, let's contemplate how we all can give life. Not just moms in this room, but even dads within this room too. How can we give life? How can we help people get reacquainted to God once again? It's a call for discipleship, an opportunity to come alongside other people and pray for them, to be able to help them walk closer to Jesus by helping them understand his word, by being able to walk beside them during difficult times and being able to help them experience this relationship with God as we experience relationship with God and help other people experience it through our relationship with them. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for your word, Father, for you give us great encouragement that Eve, she was the mother of all living. And physically within this room, all of us are her descendants as we look into science and we hear about mitochondrial Eve. But Father, not only do we need to experience physical life, but Father, we need to experience emotional life. And that's what moms gave us as we were growing up. But we also need, most importantly, spiritual life. We need to be connected to you. So I do pray you may help all the people within this room, whether the ladies or the gentlemen, to be able to pour into the lives of people around us. As we think of our theme, "Me and My House, We Will Serve the Lord," help us to be able to impact the people around us, the we aspect, the church community, as we help them experience life by helping them experience you. In your son's name we do pray. Amen. At this time, we are going to be blessed by our wee little ones. They're going to be sharing a song. All right, let's give them an encouragement. Come on down. Come on down.
Thank you, kids. Okay, who has the best mom? Okay, who has the worst mom? Hey, I don't want to hear it. Okay. You know what? All of us can attest. Our moms are not perfect, right? Fathers aren't perfect. You aren't perfect. But that's what makes the family so wonderful, is that God gave us imperfect people coming together to try to make a great marriage and a great family. So we're just so thankful. Thank you, kids. And we really appreciate you sharing with us. You know, as Pastor Larry said, mothers bring us into the world. So all of us have a mother. We may have a biological mother, or some of you are adopted. You have a mother who loved you and has taken care of you. But we also know that once we bring a child into the world, they aren't necessarily being able to be taken care of, especially in many third world countries. And if you remember, it's been a couple months ago, a month and a half ago, we went and had a Feed My Starving Children event right here on our campus at the Fellowship Hall. 108,000 meals made. How many of you were part of that? Just raise your hand. Yeah, that was a wonderful opportunity. Well, our own administrator, Dan Tan, created a PowerPoint video, so please enjoy yourselves.
$440 volunteers, $504 boxes, 108,000 meals, and a personal for me,
I was there at all the sessions. Saturday alone, I put in over 30,000 steps just walking in the sanctuary, in the fellowship hall alone. So you guys worked really hard, and we praise God. Those boxes that were on their way to the Philippines, I believe they arrived, and so 108,000 meals have been sent overseas. Thank you for that event. And we're going to have more opportunities to share and help people locally as well in those ideas of things. So I'd like you to take your bulletin, and I want you to open up. We've got some news, okay? Right now, before we do that, how about you mothers? If you're a mother right now or mother-to-be, just stand up. We want to recognize you. You're going to stand later on, but just right now, let's recognize our moms. All right. Wow. Thank you, moms. We really appreciate you. Not yet. Not yet. Kids, get back. Get back. Get back. Okay, let's do it now. Pastor James, is it okay if we... Okay, stand up, moms. Kids, go flood the place and give those moms their flowers. I'm going to ask my daughter, Bethany, since my wife's not here, to keep one for her. All right. Let's thank our youth for passing out those flowers to their moms.